It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toss. Good catching up there with Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports. A lot of good insight in terms of Illinois, the Big Ten, and nationally as well. I agree with him. I'm very high on Marquette. He mentioned UConn. I'm excited. We were talking during the break, Kyle, that the other game with Jimmy V, I knew it was Carolina. I couldn't remember if it was Carolina-Villanova. No, it's actually North Carolina and UConn, the second leg of the Jimmy V Classic. That's going to be a lot of fun out there in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it yesterday at some point that I feel like the national title winner may come from the Big East again because there's some really, really good teams. UConn, the way that they – I mean, you think about their national title team last year. They lost their three best players, Sonogo, Jordan Hawkins, Andre Jackson.
Yeah.
And they reload the next year, and they're a consensus top five team and playing great basketball early in the season. I mean, that's an incredible job by Dan Hurley over there. And it's, yeah, they're just pumping out some really, really good players. And you'll get an up-close look at them at least a little bit after Illinois is over with on Tuesday night at the Jimmy V. But based on the little bit of UConn I've caught, I watched them play that game against Indiana. They look pretty fun. They look pretty dangerous. And obviously Marquette as well.
On the note of other teams nationally, did you catch any of that Kentucky game last night? I did. By the time I turned it on, it was like a 15 to 20 point blowout. I was shocked.
I saw a little bit of it, and I don't think Miami got a stop while I was watching. It was insane. Kentucky went on a huge run to start the second half. But, I mean, yeah, they got the classic, you know, 80% of their rotation is freshmen. They mix in a couple veterans in there like Antonio Reeves, and they got
Trey Mitchell.
Trey Mitchell, that's
He's slimmed down, hasn't he? He looks a lot slimmer.
Yeah, he does. He never really looked very good at – it was Texas where he was at for a little while, right?
Yeah, yep, and then West Virginia last year.
Oh, West Virginia too.
He's been to like five schools in 6 years.
He started at UMass, and that was when Illinois thought they were going to get him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he looked.
But his dad wanted a job, and that wasn't going to.
Or did Texas
actually
give him
not
that,
his, not his dad? It was his mom's boyfriend, his former high school coach. It was messy. Yeah.
So did Texas give him the job? Yeah, or
he wasn't on their staff? I can tell you that. Maybe he just came to the realization that, hey, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But I remember that it was the offseason that Orlando Antigua, who had the tie to Trey, had previously recruited him out of high school, knew his. I don't even know what to call him, his former coach and his mom's significant other, I guess. Illinois lost its whole assistant staff that offseason. So it kind of, I think it fueled the fire of him being like, hey, this is an obvious opportunity for me to come in and be one of the three assistants. But Illinois didn't want to give him that. And then that kind of was like, all right,
I don't know if they were missing much in terms of the player that he was.
No. He's played well this year so far.
Yeah, he has.
And some of their three-point shooting numbers, I know Trotter mentioned that during the last segment. Rob Dillingham, who was one of the top freshmen, I mean, that's they got a number of those on their roster, but he's shooting like 54% from three. Reed Shepard, who I don't even know. I probably should have known him. I don't know what his ranking was coming out of high school. But
he wasn't a five-star. I think he was a four-star guy.
He's 63% from three. Second in the country.
Gosh.
I think he hit a number of them last night.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in last night's game.
21 off the bench, 5 threes. Maybe Kentucky's legit. That could be an old takes exposed. I remember doing in the preseason, we did the question. I think we did like next question or whatnot. And you asked me what team that's highly hyped in the preseason could be this year's North Carolina, like falling off the map and maybe not missing the tournament, but being a real dud. And I said Kentucky because of their youth. It seems like a bad time to have a bunch of new guys and a bunch of young guys on that note. Right now, they look pretty good. Although, you know, do you get a lot of credit for losing close and blowing a big lead to Kansas? Probably not. But that win against Miami was pretty nice.
Especially because that Kansas team, they have some major issues. Eastern Illinois was giving them a game last
night. What's going on there? They don't have any depth.
No, they've got no depth. And they've got no shooting around Hunter.
Yep.
I mean, Dickinson's putting up phenomenal numbers. He's had a couple 20-plus rebound games, like 20-20 double-doubles. But they don't have any shooting around him. McCullough's really good. But aside from those two, like DeJuan Harris doesn't really he doesn't really have any interest in shooting the ball. So it's really McCullough and Dickinson with no depth and no shooting around those two. And I just don't know if that's going to work. If anyone could get it to work, it's probably Bill Self come March. But
true.
I don't know.
Yeah, and like the difference between two guys at Illinois, and we were talking about this a little bit during the break, Dalton Connect, who of course is at Tennessee and balling out, one of the top transfers in the country from Northern Colorado. Nicholas Timberlank was also a transfer from Towson. In the realm of go get a shooter in the portal that's going to, you know, make the big jump to the high major level, I knew that Connect had more to his game because he's got more off the dribble and he's bouncy. But Timberlake has not given Kansas much of anything, and Connect obviously has been a huge part of Tennessee's early going. They did take a couple losses during the Maui to both Purdue and then Kansas, but that's a big difference for the Jayhawks is that I think losing Artario Morris in the offseason hurt them in terms of their depth. DeJuan Harris has hit five threes all year. All five of those came against Kansas or Kentucky. Has not hit any since then. So they need Hunter to be, like, incredible for them to beat top-notch competition. But like you said, it's Bill Self. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But they've had some years. You just go back to last year where they were one seed. They're not going to be that this year. I'd be surprised. But where they get in the tournament, have a nice regular season, and don't really go anywhere. I mean, they lost in the second round to Arkansas, the same team that they beat Illinois. On the note of Arkansas, they haven't looked all that great either. They get Duke tonight. They're in Fayetteville, so that will be interesting to see. And then, like we talked about with Isaac, North Carolina hosting Tennessee. I want to pick the Vols and say that good of a team doesn't lose three straight, but one thing that when I was digging through their stats in preparation for our coverage coming up for Illinois' three-game stretch up next is that Tennessee really, and look, it's not a bad thing because these are really, really good bigs, but Hunter Dickinson and Edie crushed them both. Like, you look at their numbers, I think Dickinson had like 20 points and 16 rebounds, and Edie had 25 and maybe 13 or 14, which, you know, Edie's going to do that to a lot of people. Dickinson will probably do that to a lot of people, but they don't get a break in that sense. They get Armando Bacot tonight. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that game. I do feel like I don't think North Carolina is that great again. Like, they probably a little better than last year. I know Harrison Ingram, who they brought in from Stanford, has been really good for them. But like the RJ Davis Bacot duo has run its course. It hasn't brought it brought that one miraculous national title game run, but
in Caleb terms Love, of, obviously a big part of that.
Sure. And in terms your of guy. Actual winning, like, it's been mediocre team after mediocre team regular season wise with those two on it. I think Tennessee should win this game. I'm kind of with you that I just don't know if that good of a team is going to lose three in a row. And if they do lose three in a row in the week leading up to the Illinois game, that scares me even more. Like, they need to win so that they're not due for their best game of the season when Illinois goes to Knoxville a week from Saturday.
Yeah, you don't need a desperate Tennessee team. They did get a win on the road at Kohl Center against Wisconsin, so that is a win that will look nice for them. But if they lose three in a row, they will play George Mason the night that Illinois plays against FAU, and then they will host Illinois there in Knoxville on a footballless Saturday. I imagine that's going to be a pretty hyped atmosphere. That'll be 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on CBS. Just judging on some of their attendance numbers in the past few years, those big non-con games, a little bit different. They play Texas. It's Rick Barnes playing Texas again, and then they played Arizona a few years ago as well. I mean, they're getting like 20,000 in that place.
Is that how much it holds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, as crazy as that sounds. I want to ask you, let's go through a few more of these teams. How much do you like Arizona?
They look really good.
Kylan Boswell is playing pretty darn well.
He is, man. Every time I've watched him play this year, I watched his game against Duke when he was outstanding, and then on Thanksgiving I had that Michigan State game on. He has been awesome, and man, could you imagine if he was Illinois' point guard right now? He's from Champaign, right?
He is, yeah. From Champaign, did move out.
That's the one you let get away
during high school.
But of course, Arizona's obviously had a ton of success here recently. So you can't blame him for going there. He's obviously playing well in a great spot. But that Arizona team, they look pretty darn good.
They do.
And, yeah, I mean, it feels like a spot where you can kind of get Caleb Love in line a little bit and playing within a team with Tommy Lloyd there, and it feels like he's kind of doing that. So I don't know. It's Arizona team's been impressive so far. They play Purdue coming up here sometime soon. I can't wait to see that one because that could be the top two teams in the country.
Yeah, December 16th, they'll play Purdue in Indy, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
They also will host Wisconsin on December 9th. Obviously, a different level of opponent.
I think they play FAU, too.
They do, yeah. That's a loaded December for them. They should handle Wisconsin. Wisconsin will have a hard time going to Tucson.
At Arizona. Yeah.
But Indianapolis against Purdue will be must-see TV for sure.
That might be the best game in the whole non-conference schedule.
Yeah, good call.
I don't know if I can think of a game that would top that. I know Kansas and UConn play on Friday, but
oh, really?
With Kansas down a little bit. I know the Champions Classic were great games, but that could be 1-2, Arizona and Purdue. That will be awesome.
On the note of 1-2, if you look at KenPom right now, Purdue has been number one for a big stretch, but there's been a change. I haven't caught any of their game, but Houston now number one.
I haven't seen them play once this year.
Which is usually the case, right? Because they had been playing in the American, but now in the Big 12. So we'll have plenty of opportunities. They haven't really beaten anybody significant. Their best win right now against Utah. But Kelvin Sampson, you know, usually a super athletic, very good defensive team. Right now they grade out well at both ends, but we'll have to really see. I know Jamal Shedd was a point guard that obviously played really well against Illinois in the tournament a couple of years ago. They got LJ Cryer from Baylor, three-point shooter. So we'll see how that looks. Purdue, do you think Purdue is – how much better are they this year? Because what's changed? Because you and I were on the same page last season. We're like, okay, yeah, they're the best team in the Big Ten. It's clear. They have a dominant force in Edie that no one else can really deal with. But we were both very skeptical, rightfully so, and that played out with their ability to make a deep run in March. But now people seem to have changed their tune in that, you know, this looks like – arguably the best team in the country, and a lot of people feel like they can go to the Final Four this year. Do you think that much has changed for them, and if so, what is it?
I mean, I think they definitely look better. I think the biggest thing is Braden Smith feels like he's gotten a lot better. He was kind of the guy that was hurting them in some of the, especially in March and late in the season last year, where kind of hit the freshman wall, had some turnover problems, physical guards that got in his grill and pressured him, really frustrated him, and he didn't seem like he had an answer for that. Some of the numbers he's putting up so far this year, he nearly had a triple-double last night. Now, I know that was against Texas Southern, but he played great against Marquette in that finale of the championship of the Maui.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like pairing a true high-level point guard next to Zach Edey and a guy that can create. Not that he couldn't last year. He did a good job of that last year, but I think towards the end of the season, he started to fall off a little bit, have some freshman issues. Feels like he's kind of the X factor there in terms of if he can be one of the top point guards in the Big Ten, one of the top point guards in the country, then that's just a lethal combination with him and Edie. And then the other thing is if Purdue can shoot better than they did last year.
And they have been.
And I did not think anything of Lon's guy from Southern Illinois, Lance Jones, when they got him. You look at the numbers he put up at Southern, like a high-volume guy where his efficiency was not very good. I know he gets a rep as being a good defender, which he is, but he's 6'1". Is that going to translate? He's been really good addition for them.
Yes.
And Lon could probably speak better to what he is as a player. I haven't seen a ton of him, but man, if you can just get some shooting, like if Fletcher Lawyer can shoot it better and if he can come in there and be a shooter around Edie, then I do get a lot more scared of Purdue, although I still am just so skeptical. I mean, you lose to a 16 seed. I get really frustrated watching Purdue games. I tweeted about it during Thanksgiving. Like, just the officiating that they get. Like, I wish Kofi Coburn got the ref treatment that Edie gets. It's really frustrating sometimes to watch a game where it's like, how do you defend him? I get it. It's really hard. He's 7'4". How do you defend him if you can't make any contact with him trying to battle him in the post and he's going to get a whistle every time? I get frustrated with that.
But I didn't watch that Purdue-Tennessee game, but
that was brutal,
it was
man.
A foul
it was,
fest.
It was like unwatchable basketball. And that was kind of both sides. I thought, you know, there were certain things that were going in Purdue's favor in that game. But that was both sides of, like, they just would not let those two teams play. Two teams that are very physical. Like, Tennessee, the last couple of years, has gotten a rap of being, they are going to foul the heck out of you and be really physical team, physical defensive team. And it felt like they wouldn't let anything go. Whistle, 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 whistle. Purdue shot 48 free throws, I think, in that game. I mean, come on, man. They've got a 7'4 big man. They're number one in the country. We don't also need to send them to the line 50 times.
Yeah, it was 48 free throws for Purdue, 30 for Tennessee. That's nuts. That's crazy.
I just think as officials, you have to – I don't mind it. Like, early in the game when you're kind of getting a feel for how the game's being played, like, I get it. Once you kind of see that, okay, these guys are really physical. This is going to be a really physical game. Adjust to that and start being a little more lenient with the whistle. We don't need to see a foul fest where 70 free throws get taken or 78. No one wants to watch that. I'd rather a guy get battled with in the post and just be really physical with each other than see a bunch of free throws get taken. I hate watching games where it's a whistle fest.
That's what you hate is the inconsistency of it, because you get a different ref crew that lets you play through it.
Yep.
And I am with you 100% when you're not disrupting the game flow and you're letting the same thing go at both ends. Obviously there's some egregious stuff, like if a guy gets flat out hacked, if you can hear the slap from the sideline, whether it's Kyle Seaton, the crush, or me on press row, you got to call that for sure. But some of the other just physical basketball plays, I'd rather see them let some things go that might be borderline fouls versus calling each and every ticky-tack thing. And yeah, I don't know how you defend Zach Edey other than trying to just trap the heck out of him and hope you don't get those fouls. Because one thing I thought Marquette, I wondered and was like, man, I might like Marquette in this game the way that they've been playing. But I said, if Oso Iguodaro gets in foul trouble, that will kill them. And then I see that within the first 5 minutes, Oso's on the bench with two fouls. If that happens to you against Purdue, I mean, that can just bury you.
Oh, for sure. And it happens quite a bit, especially at Mackey Arena.
Yeah.
If you go in there as a big man, be prepared to be on the bench for most of the first half.
Yeah, no doubt. Purdue does have wins over, if you look at their KenPom ranking, number 9 Gonzaga, number 7 Tennessee, number 5 Marquette. They've been really, really, really impressive. On, like you said, Lance Jones, I didn't know that he was going to come in and be like a 25 to 30 minute a game guy. He's shooting 38% from three. Braden Smith, 50% from three. And then Fletcher Lawyer exploded in that Tennessee game. What do you have, 27 points?
Yeah.
So both Braden and Fletcher to have another year under their belt, ability to get stronger and just understand what they're looking for out there, high-level basketball. I think that has been a difference. I still wonder, too, like stylistically, is there going to be a team that can – maybe you won't be able to turn them over as much as you did last year. I mean, that's what really led to their unraveling in that FDU game, and also they didn't make threes around Edey.
Yep.
So if they can answer that, then maybe that is really the counter that will get them deep in March. But I'm going to say TBD in terms of my picking them to like go to the Final Four automatically. But they look like an absolute force. And I don't think there's any question. Like if you can bet, if you're into betting, maybe you're not. I think it's some free money to bet Purdue to win the Big Ten. I guess still plus money out there.
I mean, Purdue to win by three or more games would be enticing to me. Like, I think there's no one that's going to come close. I don't see a team in this conference that's going to come anywhere near what they can do. I think they're going to probably run the table at home in conference play with that environment. They're going to win a lot of games. Like, I could see Purdue a 17 or 18 win Big Ten team this year. I just think they're that dominant of a force, and comparatively to the rest of this conference, it's just tough for me to see any of these other teams putting up much of a fight to them. And when you got Zach Edey, it's tough. It's really tough. I think they could really have a dominant regular season.
We've done this here recently, but let me give you the updated projection on KenPom. So they have Purdue at 16-4 projected in the Big Ten. Their opener, by the way, is at Northwestern coming up on Friday. That will be That'll be a tough one for the Wildcats. A good defensive team. They actually beat Purdue there in Evanston last year, but no Chase Audige to go to battle against Purdue this time around. Michigan State, they still have projected to finish second, which is a little surprising to me, 13-7 in the league. Wisconsin and Ohio State, they have projected at 12-8. Illinois and Iowa at 11-9. Nebraska, yes, the 7-0 Huskers at 10-10.
7-0 against nobody.
Yeah, we'll see if they can go 8-0. They got Creighton coming up this weekend. I would say probably not that they would win that game. Did they beat Creighton last year, though?
They did, yeah.
Man. I haven't watched a second of Huskers basketball. I can't say.
They haven't played anybody with a pulse yet. But, I mean, in this terrible Big Ten, could they make the tournament?
Oh, my gosh.
Could they go to the tournament, Fred Hoiberg, save his job?
That team, listen to some of the other teams that are ranked below Nebraska. Michigan, Rutgers, Maryland, and Northwestern all projected to finish 9-11. Indiana projected to finish 8-12.
3 minute stations, 3 minutes to your next Fox News.
Whoops.
You're good. That is the 3 minute warning brought to you by Fox News. Penn State 6-14, and then Minnesota 5-15. Of the 9-11 projected group, Michigan, Rutgers, Maryland, Northwestern, if you had to buy one of those to finish higher than that, who would you buy?
Maryland.
Yeah, I'm not out on Maryland.
No,
yet.
I'm not either. I feel like they'll figure it out at some point. They just got their starting lineup's too good. The returners, like, you got such a good point guard in Jameer Young that I think will carry them to some wins. They got freshmen who haven't played well so far that I feel like will start to at some point. I just can't shake it. I admit that I was very wrong in that they would be the third best team in the conference. And that they were going to be, you know, a big-time contender. That clearly isn't going to happen, but I still think they'll make the tournament and figure it out at some point.
I'm with you, yeah. Deshaun Harris-Smith is leading, in a bad way, the race for the one-for-what in three-point shots right now. Yeah. Quincy Guerrier, 1-for-18. Deshaun Harris-Smith, 1-for-19.
Oof.
So far on the season. Jamie Kaiser, also a freshman. He's 5-for-26. As a team, they are legit shooting below 24% from three. Their Big Ten opener on Friday at Indiana.
Two teams that have looked horrendous so far. That'll be quite the game.
Right now, KenPom has Indiana as a one-point favorite. I will be betting Maryland. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I could be wrong. Look, Khalil Ware and Renew have played well together.
They have.
But I just feel like Jameer Young can walk in there and...
Oh, for sure.
And light it
up. But
the
one thing I will say, though, is that I think what has kind of bitten Indiana so far is that they cannot defend the three-point line to save their life because they got so many big bodies out there and they've got Malik Renew chasing shooters. And
Maryland
it's just
doesn't have any.
Horrendous. Can Maryland beat them there? I doubt it. And one thing that Indiana can do well, it's defend the rim with those big guys and score at the rim. And I think it could be a decent matchup for them. I don't know. With that said, I feel very validated on my Indiana preseason take that they will be bad at basketball. That's what they've been so far.
That was a good call for sure. Could it be the Jordan Geronimo revenge game?
Oh, there's a good storyline. Is he good enough to have a revenge game?
I don't know. He had a good game against Illinois last year, right, in Champaign?
Yeah, he did. Of course, everyone did. Well, their front court did, Trace and him. And I think Huchefino was okay.
He had 13 points, 8 rebounds against Illinois. Boy.
That game was ridiculous.
It was. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Scott in Terre Haute says maybe Purdue pulls a Virginia this year.
That's the storyline that the media is trying to push, that they want that to happen, whatever.
It could.
It very well could. I mean, yeah, they at this point they're number one in the country in every poll. So to say it couldn't happen would be foolish. It definitely can.
Admittedly, I'd be okay, and actually to the point, I'd like to see it happen for Matt Painter. I think Matt Painter is a good coach, a very good coach. I like him both personally and as a basketball coach. He's had his flaws through the years, and I'm not, you know, he's even taken ownership of, hey, the one consistency through our losses to North Texas, to Fairleigh Dickinson, and there was one more.
St. Peter's.
St. Peter's, good call. in there is him. And I do think that that team with Ivy and Edie and who else did they have on that squad? Stefanovic.
They had Trevion Williams.
Oh, man. They under – for them not to win a share of the Big Ten title that year at least, and then for them with a opened up path based on the St. Peter's upset of Kentucky to not get to the Elite Eight and beyond was pretty disappointing for them. But they look like a freight train so far this year. What do you think of Purdue? What do you think of the Big Ten? Let us know, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. Going to catch a break. This is The Drive.
As we approach the end of the year, you might want to think about some great tax-deductible donations, like with the Urbana Parks Foundation, or making a donation to the Youth Scholarship Fund to help cover the costs of kids attending summer camps. Your donation can help more kids attend summer camps next year. Mail your check to 303 West University Avenue in Urbana. Call Kelsey for details at 217-367-1536 or visit UrbanaParksFoundation.com.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace from music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects large and small as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, we have it when you need it. Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's switch gears. Let's go to college football. Let's go back.
I've been wanting to talk about this because this could get interesting this weekend in the college football world.
It's going to be fun. A lot of different scenarios. You had the college football playoff rankings come out last night. Let's update you on that in case you didn't see those. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Michigan. Number three, Washington. Number four, Florida State. All four of those 12-0. All four of those in action coming up this weekend. Just on the outside, you've got number five, Oregon. Number six, Ohio State. Number seven, Texas. And number eight, Alabama. Feels like any of those, well, any of those four outside of that current picture could still get in based on different dominoes that would fall. So let's talk about that.
It is eight teams for four spots heading into this weekend. There's some chaotic scenarios that could take place. It's kind of as up in the air as I can remember it. It'd kind of be the perfect year. This is the last year of the four-team playoff. They're going to the 12-team playoff next year. It'd kind of be the perfect year this year to have the 12-team playoff.
No doubt. And you like that idea of expanding the playoff?
I do. I
do as well.
I think the one thing, the downside of it, I think, is that you're going to get more blowouts in the early rounds because I think, you know, when you pair up a conference champion with, you know, whoever number 12 is right now, like the point spread on that is going to be like it's 17 or something. Like I get that part of it, but I like the intrigue of more games. I love the idea that the first round is going to be on campus, so you're going to get on-campus college football playoff games. I like the fact that you just going into conference championship weekend, there's no question. If you win your power conference championship game, you're in. Just like the NCAA tournament, you know, conference tournament championships. So I like the whole structure of it. I like the fact that there's going to be more football. And I like the idea that it's not going to be confined to four teams and a really good team gets left out because they have one loss. And I just get the best teams in there and let them play.
Yeah, because those eight teams I just listed, I would love to see all of them in this mix. In the next tier, you get Missouri, you get Penn State, you get Ole Miss, you get Oklahoma.
And you get one. They're mandating one group of five team, the highest ranked group of five team as well. Which is just
that'd be Tulane this year,
right? So it's like Tulane is not going to come anywhere close to winning the title, but it's cool to see those types of teams get an opportunity to play for a championship.
100%.
And if there's a year where they go on a miraculous run and pull off two upsets, that'll be so fun.
Be epic. And I wouldn't put it past a team of having that in them at some point. There is a huge. The hierarchy in college football, we've seen when we see the repetitiveness of some of these teams that continue to show up in the college football playoff, it dictates that there is the haves and have nots or just the elite tier is that much better than everybody else in most instances. But we've seen, like you said, in college basketball with the tournament, more games means more possibilities for those upsets. So,
yeah, I'm excited for it. I do wish that it was here this year, but there could be some chaos coming this weekend, conference championship weekend.
Let's start with the game you're looking forward to seeing most, which has to be Michigan and Iowa.
That is, I'd watch the, what are some other conferences out there? I'd watch the Sun Belt Championship before I'd turn that one on. Not really. I mean, it's the Big Ten, but that's going to be ugly. That's going to be the most lopsided conference championship game there is. I don't think Iowa has any chance. I'll just come out and say it. Iowa has no chance of beating Michigan in that game. If they do, I would be absolutely stunned. And I don't know if Iowa's going to score more than 3 points in that game.
Neither does DraftKings, because DraftKings is currently offering over under 0.5 points in the first half for Iowa. That is a real thing you can bet on, and that is a real line.
And the over is plus 100, too.
Yeah.
They do not think Iowa will score.
You have to pay the juice on the under
in the first half. And I don't think I'd have any conviction if I was of age that I would want to bet on Iowa scoring a point in the first half.
I don't know how they do.
They could get they kick a field goal once, but Michigan is going to.
How does their offense do anything?
They're not. Michigan will win that game so easily. And Michigan is the one team that you can confidently say they will be a lock for the playoff come this weekend.
Let's look at, you go to Friday night, the Pac-12 championship. You have number 5, Oregon, number 3, Washington. A number of things that can happen based on that outcome. Washington did win the prior meeting there when they were hosting the Ducks back in the regular season. But as it looks, we were talking about it before the segment, if Oregon gets this thing done, they could potentially, or they would, leapfrog Washington, and it's loser goes home, essentially, right?
I would imagine so, unless some other things happen.
That's true. That's true. Yep.
But I think it is kind of a win and in game there. It should, to answer the question that you originally jokingly asked, this is probably the one I'm most excited to watch on Friday night, because that first matchup in Washington,
awesome,
great game. Oregon, I thought, actually was the better team, but they were like 0 for 4 on fourth down. As their coach, Dan Lanning, said, we are not kicking a field goal in this one. Any fourth down, we are going for it, and they miserably failed. Washington won on a game winner. That's just going to be a high scoring, two of the best offenses in the sport, two Heisman candidate quarterbacks. Like, that should be a great game.
If you've watched too much Big Ten West football this year,
yeah,
there's a lot of people out there.
That's such a great way to say it.
This is the palate cleanser. You see the over-under at 65.5. This game will be played. And the winner's going to have to score into the 40s. If not, I have to look up what the final score was there back in, what was that, October? It was 36-33, a fantastic game. And it's just that stark contrast of what you see in too much in the Big Ten West, offensively challenged teams, and then you got two Heisman-caliber quarterbacks in Bo Nix. He has 37 touchdowns and 2 interceptions all year. And Michael Penix Jr. is really outstanding in his own right.
Yep.
So I'm really, really looking forward to that one. He's got 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I'm leaning Oregon. What do you think?
I'm leaning Oregon as well. I thought they were the better team in that first matchup, even though they lost on the road. I think they're the more complete team. Washington's defense has some major issues, I think. And Oregon, I don't know. Bo Nix is playing just out of his mind. I think they're really good. I want to see their offense in the playoff.
Yes.
I told you this before we jumped on here. Like, my rooting interest this weekend, like, I don't like Alabama. I don't like some of these teams. I don't like Michigan. But I'm rooting for the best possible matchups come New Year's Eve in the playoff, because last year in the semifinals, those two games, I know the national championship was a snooze fest, but the two semifinals were outstanding football games last year. I had so much fun watching those. There haven't been a ton of those in the college football playoffs history. There's been a lot of lopsided games. I want the best possible matchups. I would love to see Oregon in the playoff, either one of them, really. Yeah. But I think Oregon, in my opinion, even though they lost the first one, I think they're the more complete team.
The betting market says so as well. They're currently a 9.5-point favorite.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
An undefeated Washington team who's sitting in the top three is a 9.5-point underdog to a team they beat. That just tells you that people feel like that was probably a fortunate win that Washington picked up there at home earlier.
For sure. On the note of seeing the best teams, I imagine you look at Florida State right now. They were able to eke it out against Florida. I mean, it wasn't like a barn burner by any means, but with Jordan Travis's injury, this was a team that throughout the year I want to see fresh blood in the college football playoff. Now, I can't remember if you go back to Jimbo Fisher's titles. There was two of them, right? With, you know, Jameis Winston.
Was it two of them?
Maybe they won. Maybe they won one.
I think
one.
They only won one. They were in the playoff a couple times.
Okay, you're right. Yep. They're a team that we've seen within the last decade, but that was one I circled as, you know, it'd be cool to see Florida State in the college football playoff. It'd be cool to see Texas. It'd be cool to see, at the time I said USC, obviously they completely fell off and didn't have anywhere close to the kind of year, but Florida State was one that I wanted to see early, but now that they had the quarterback injury, probably are rooting for Louisville to beat them, right?
I am. I think, yeah, it's unfortunate because you lose your quarterback in a game against North Alabama or whoever it was against to a gruesome injury. That you hate to see that because he was playing great. It was a Florida State team that lived up to the preseason hype. Obviously, they're undefeated. I'm assuming they're still a favorite in that game.
2.5 points.
Louisville is not very impressive at all. I mean, it's impressive that Jeff Brom's gotten them 10 wins in his first year, but, man, did they squeak through some games this year. So I don't know. But I am rooting for Louisville to win because I just feel like Florida State, like you pair them against Michigan or Georgia in the first round of the playoff, I think that gets pretty ugly without Travis in there. And so I'd love to see more of a challenge for some of those top teams. I just don't think Florida State can provide that in their current state. Even with him, like the ACC is so bad in football. It was hard to tell how legit they were. But now without him, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that Louisville beats them and we get one of those teams below him who I think at this point without him healthy are better football teams in.
Yeah, last weekend, Florida State, Florida was a battle of backup quarterbacks because Graham Mertz was out for the Gators. Tate Roadmaker was going for the Seminoles. He's only 12 for 25, 134 yards, and take out what's been a explosive offense for Florida State, I would imagine. So, yeah, it'd be nice for them to take their loss to Jeff Brohm. What a season it'd be for Jeff Brohm to leave Purdue, knowing the type of year they had, and then go to Louisville and win 11 games.
That would be crazy, and win a conference title.
No doubt. Georgia, Alabama, 3 o'clock CBS on Saturday, the SEC title. You have Georgia favored by 5.5 points. Alabama they have to win to have a chance to get in. Is it automatic if they win they're in, you think, or no?
No, I think they need a little bit of help because I think if you think about, like, if they win and Michigan takes care of business and Washington or Oregon wins, which one of them has to, and then Florida State wins.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you
still
have...
Because it probably won't knock Georgia out, would it?
That's so difficult, you know? That's what I'm so intrigued by. I'm rooting for Alabama to win that game. I hate it, but it's not like I'd rather root for Georgia. I'm rooting for Alabama to win because I think that they're one of the four best teams in the country. I would love to see a different team in there at the same time. I think that they would provide the stiffest test for a team like Michigan, like a Michigan-Alabama game. I'd be down for that. It's funny because Alabama, you remember early in the season, they lose to Texas at home. They score like 10 against South Florida in week three, where they bench Jalen Milroe. They bring in two other quarterbacks who can't complete a pass. It's like, what is wrong with Alabama this year? They put Milroe back in. They've been their normal selves ever since then. I mean, they've been great. I think that should be a great game. That's the one that's going to have, if Bama wins, that's going to create the most chaos without question. Because it's going to be interesting to see, will they jump Georgia automatically? You'd think, in theory, they would because they beat them and they won the SEC and they'd have the same number of losses. But then Georgia is number one right now. Would they drop like five spots for one loss to a good Bama team? That's the one that would be the chaos inducer, is the SEC championship.
Another interesting dynamic here. Texas, they're playing number 18 Oklahoma State. They're probably wishing they were playing a bigger fish in this game to really move the needle, because Oklahoma State, number 18 in the country, they already have three losses. Texas, like, favored by, I think it's 14.5 in that one. That's another team that we joke about Texas being quote-unquote back. I'd like to see them be back enough to go to the college football playoff. It will be interesting if they win and Bama wins. Texas won at Bama during the season.
It's going to be impossible for Bama to jump them. There's no justification for it. If Bama – I get it. The argument that Bama's going to beat a much better team in the game this weekend. But I just don't know. Two conference champions, two one-loss conference champions.
And one at the other's place.
One beat the other at their building. I think it would be impossible for the committee to justify Bama jumping Texas.
Would you rather?
And I think they've kind of made that clear already, having ranked Texas above Alabama every single week.
That's fair. In terms of the best quality of game, or let's say that the winner is going to play Michigan, would you rather see Michigan-Texas or Michigan-Alabama?
Michigan-Alabama, I think, would be the better game. I think Bama's – it's interesting because I say that knowing Texas beat Alabama at Alabama, but I think Alabama was kind of in shambles early in the season, and they've really figured it out now. And I think that would be a really intriguing matchup of physical teams – good defenses, Michigan, Bama, like that could be an actual classic semifinal. Whereas I think Michigan is quite a bit better than Texas, in my opinion.
And Quinn Ewers hasn't been putting up fantastic
numbers.
No,
and he's
here.
Been injured too at a point.
Yep.
I think he's back now, but
Yeah, he's been back playing, but his numbers have taken a dip here of late. And they lost their one loss, of course, coming to Oklahoma earlier in the season. I'd like to see Texas just the brand and to have them back into the college football, or have them actually in. They haven't been to the college football playoff, I think, right?
No, they haven't.
So that would be – I'd like to see that. It would be hard for me. I think I know where I'm going to go here. I'm planting my flag on let's not have Michigan win it this year. But I would have a rooting conflict, Alabama versus Michigan, because I am Alabama'd out. I am. And I think even if it was – I guess if it was Michigan-Georgia, would you want to see Georgia win it again? I just couldn't probably pull for Michigan. I don't know.
I get the people and the argument of, like, I want these new faces in there. I'm so sick of Georgia. I'm so sick of Alabama. I'm so sick of Michigan. I totally get that, and I feel that 100%. At the same time, like, what good is it going to be? Like, oh, Florida State made it. We got a new face in there.
They
it's 38-7 final in a semifinal. Yeah. What is that accomplishing? You're not being entertained, and you know, the team that you dislike is still advancing because they're getting Florida State in the first round. So my personal rooting interest this weekend is I want the four highest quality of teams in the playoffs so that we can hopefully get some really intriguing matchups, even if that means Michigan and all their narratives and whatever that they've been pushing. I really hope they don't win at all. But, I mean, they're going to beat Iowa. They're going to get in. They're a really good team. I'd love to see them get challenged in the semifinal by an Alabama or by a Oregon or whoever it is. I'd be intrigued by those games. If you're telling me they're playing Florida State without their quarterback, it's a brand new team in the playoff, but Michigan's going to make quick work of them, go to the national title game. So I can't root for that. If we go through kind of the scenarios here, I think it's pretty clear that the committee is probably rooting for the top four undefeated teams to all win, because then they have to do zero work this weekend. If Georgia wins, if Michigan wins, if Washington wins, if Florida State wins, the committee can take a nap all weekend. They got their four. One of those teams loses, then we've got some chaos there. And we haven't mentioned Ohio State is sitting there, and we know they like to backdoor their way in like they did last year. Like, they could still be in.
So are they at number six?
They're six. So they're right now ahead of Texas and Alabama. You'd have to imagine if either of those teams win, they jump Ohio State.
Okay.
For winning a conference title and picking up another quality win. I'd imagine either one win and jump OSU. If both lose and Florida State loses, and, you know, it could get interesting.
That is interesting. I think with
especially
Ohio-
like – I think a definite scenario would be if Washington beats Oregon. So Oregon gets a second loss. Mm-hmm. Florida State loses to Louisville. Georgia and Michigan take care of business. Ohio State probably gets in that scenario.
Mm. Get in over Texas?
Oh, well, Texas would have to lose too. So it's probably unlikely for them.
That's a tough one. Yeah, I don't know if I see. Yeah, Oklahoma State would have to beat Texas. Georgia beat Bama. Florida State lose to Louisville, and then Washington beat Oregon. It's lots to root for if you're a Buckeyes fan, but then again, you lost the game that matters the most for the third straight year. I think also maybe one way to make it clean if you're the college football playoff committee is that have Florida State lose and then have Oregon beat Washington. Would you just then do if Michigan or if Georgia wins, Michigan wins, and you do Georgia, Michigan, Oregon and Washington? Or does Washington take that big of a hit?
I feel like, and you look at Washington too, like their resume is they beat Oregon. That's it.
Yeah.
And if they lose that game in a rematch to Oregon and you have Texas win, it'd be tough to justify that. Two Pac-12 teams over them. Did you say that Texas would lose in this scenario?
No,
did you
not
say anything like that?
I don't think they will. Yeah.
And then the other interesting thing to me is, man, if Bama beats Georgia, do they go both SEC teams in? Do they go neither SEC team in? Do they keep Georgia ahead of Bama? Do they jump Bama over Georgia seven spots? That's kind of, as much as I am so tired of Bama like you, I'm rooting for that to happen because that's the chaos inducer right there. I'd have no clue what would happen if Bama beats Georgia. And it would be kind of great if Georgia didn't make it at all, because I'm as tired of them as any team. Even though, again, they'd be the that would go against my rooting interest of wanting the best matchups because they're clearly one of the best teams.
True. I guess with the way it's stacking up, I'm guessing we're taking this all the way to the top.
Yeah.
All right. So in terms of Georgia's resume, they have wins against number 9 Ole Miss, number 12 Missouri, number 18 Tennessee, number 20 Kentucky. These are AP rankings, by the way. Is that enough? And it's a good question. Is that enough if, say, they lose to Bama? I have a hard time imagining. Although, look, there's so many moving parts, it's hard to say anything probably with absolute certainty. But even if they lose to Bama, I feel like they're still getting in.
I would tend to agree with you. I think...
See, this is why we need a bigger playoff.
Yep, exactly. If Bama beats them... And you get a couple other – I'm trying to work through this in terms of how both of those teams get in. Because I'd find it hard to believe, just thinking through the whole thing, if Bama beats Georgia, how there could possibly be a scenario where you keep Georgia in the field and Bama doesn't make it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if that would happen. I mean, Georgia's first and Bama's eighth right now, so it doesn't seem plausible, but just
they're both one
thinking
loss teams
through
then.
It
yeah.
In your head, this is their first meeting. Bama would beat them head-to-head in the SEC championship, and the committee always talks about how much they value winning a conference championship. I don't know how with 2 1-loss teams, and it's not like Bama's losses to some nobody. It's to Texas, who's right in the mix and might even make it. I don't know how you would justify that, so... It's tough. Like,
you're right.
I think
Bama wins.
I think that would be the classic scenario where the committee would do everything possible to try to get their beloved 2 SEC teams both in.
See, that's what I don't want, though.
Yeah.
Man. Is there a scenario? Okay, let's say Bama beats Georgia, and what if the committee then says, we want both of these teams in, plus Michigan and...
And the Pac-12 winner.
And the Pac-12 winner.
But then if Florida State wins, then you can't leave them out.
What if Florida State wins and Oregon wins? And what if Oregon wins and somehow neither of those teams make it? That can't happen, right?
No. If Florida State wins, they're in. If the 4 undefeated teams win, they're in, I'd have to imagine. I mean, they are. That's a given.
But yeah, that's the interesting. So like Michigan undefeated in.
So I think the scenario would be, yeah, if the 3 undefeated teams that aren't Georgia win, then what the heck do you do?
Right. I don't know.
That's what I'm kind of rooting for because it'd be fun.
It's fun to talk about. We can discuss it more as we go to the rest of the week, and obviously we'll give our picks, imagining on Friday. Do a little who you got and figure that whole thing out. Thanks to Isaac Trotter on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Or I'm sorry, he didn't text in. He called in. Tapman's Towing phone line for calling in and give us some great insight on college hoops. Thanks to all that did text in on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. I saw one from 651. We'll get to that tomorrow as far as Illinois basketball related. A lot more time to talk about the upcoming stretch for Illinois. I'm going to try to get a Rutgers guy on here in the next day or two to give us the insight into the Scarlet Knights before the Big Ten opener. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive.